We're doing the In Yaakov. We're up to what's called page Kuf Chet. We're at the end of Tractate Brachot. Page Samach Dalit in the Gemara. We're really in the middle. If you see the beginning of the line, it says Mim Dalit. An abbreviation, Mim Dalit. You guys have it? Mim Dalit. Okay, so go up one line, the end of the line. Vamar Rabbi Avina Levi. My dichtiv. What does the verse mean? Yancha Hashem biyom tzarais agivcha Hashem elokei Yaakov. May God answer you in your day of need. May you be protected by the name of the God of Jacob. Why is he called? Why do we speak to the God of Jacob? Elokei Yaakov lo elokei Avraham v'Yitzchak. God is the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak. Why are we speaking about being protected by the name of the God of Jacob? Mikan neba laKorah sheikanes beovya shel Korah. From here we learn a rule. The guy who owns the beam, when you hire other people to help you carry the beam, at the end of the day, you carry the bulk of the weight. Don't count on them to carry the bulk of the weight. Even though they're helping you, you hired them. Yeah, but if you're carrying it together, you stand under the bulk of the weight. The same is true about Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The one who carries the bulk of the weight, the one who had the 12 tribes, was Yaakov Avinu. The one who prayed for the 12 tribes, the one who invested the most in the 12 tribes, is Yaakov Avinu. And so when we turn to Hashem, we say, Hashem, save us in the merit of the God of Yaakov, because at the end of the day, he's the one that put the most. He's like the owner. Avram, okay, he's the grandfather, he's the father of the nation. Yitzchak, okay, he's the holy Yitzchak. But Yaakov, he's the father of the 12 tribes. He's really the bottom line. When we ask for protection, we say the God of Yaakov. Rabbi Yavna Levi taught, anyone who enjoys a meal that a Talmid Chacham is immersed in, Keilu Nenem Meziv Shechina. It's as though he enjoyed the radiance of the Shechina, the Holy Presence. Shneimar, the verse says, next week's parsha, Aaron and all the elders came with Moshe's father-in-law before God. They're sitting down to eat a meal with Moshe and his father-in-law. And it says they came before God. They weren't eating before God. They were guests of Moshe. Why is it referred to as they came before God? The idea here is that they enjoyed a meal that Moshe was going to be immersed in with his father-in-law, and to enjoy such a meal is like enjoying the radiance of the Shechina. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You're coming to a meal where a Talmid Chacham is going to be amongst the people, so it's as though you're standing in the presence of the Shechina. Let's maybe borrow from a different Gemara. There's another place in Talmud where it says, try to listen closely when a Talmud Chacham is having idle chatter, because even from his idle chatter you could learn a lot. So what does that mean? What am I going to learn from his idle chatter? So the Tiferes Yisrael, in his commentary on the Mishnah, explains based on another Gemara. He's just talking, he's not talking Torah. You think you could only learn from a rabbi when he's talking Torah. The Talmud comes and says, no, afilu sichatan shel talmidei chachamim tzicha limud. Even when you think he's just having a regular conversation, if you'll learn about it, you'll understand that there's what to learn from his ordinary conversation, not only his learned conversation. So the Tiferes Yisrael explains that based on another Gemara. The Talmud tells us in Yuma, one is only permitted to talk Torah. You shouldn't be talking about other things. Wait a second. But it says the Talmud Chacham does have his regular conversation. So that's the answer. If you'll understand his regular conversation, you'll understand that his regular conversation is also something that can be learned from. Because he also knows he's not supposed to waste his time having a conversation about nothing. So if you heard a conversation that sounds like it's not so serious, if you'll only look into it, you'll understand there's what to be learned from that too. Yeah, quite possibly. So I think the same is true here. to partake of a meal with a Talmid Chacham, so then even his meal is different. I could tell you, I had the good fortune of getting rides sometimes with Rabbi David Feinstein. May live and be well. So whenever he'd get a ride, so you know everyone's honoring everyone else to get in, so he'd always get in first and take that seat in the middle where the bump in the car is. So that everyone else gets in, you know, he gets the worst seat. I learned from it. You know, a simple thing like getting a ride with him, when I'd give him a ride, sometimes I brought a car. So at the beginning of the ride, once we reached an area that I had to concentrate in my driving, he'd be asleep. His eyes were shut, and if I'd ask him something, no answer. Suddenly we'd reach the point where you could say Tfilas Aderech. His eyes were open, he was saying Tfilas Aderech for all of us. And then boom, his eyes are shut again. So he wasn't asleep. He wanted me to concentrate on my driving. So he made believe he was asleep. I learned something. When you're driving, concentrate on your driving. Even if you have a big rabbi next to you at the end of the ride. If I had questions, he'd sit down. I could ask him the questions. But during the drive, it was as if he was asleep. And there were many other things. You think a simple thing like giving a ride, what can you learn from? there were many things I learned from those small, simple encounters. I remember the first or the second week I was in yeshiva, I brought a bike. So I figured it'll save me time riding from the dorm to the yeshiva. So I come on the bike, and my luck, I walk into the yeshiva with the bike, and I was asking myself, is it acceptable, is it respectable, is it nice? And I walk in with the bike, and he's standing there. So I'm still wondering if I did the right thing coming with the bike, and I meet the Rosh Yeshiva. So he saw I was a little taken aback, and I was like stammering. So he right away struck up a conversation with me. Did you ride in all the way from Muncie? How was the ride? How did you do it? You know, he's talking to me as though he really cares about how I'm riding the bike. Yeah, because when you're a big person, so then the way you show care is you think it through and you right away realize how can I make the other person at ease. So that small conversation taught me a lot. I remember I was once walking another rabbi home, and he noticed my shoelace was untied. So I wasn't about to stop him to tie my shoelace. I figured I'll walk him home, and when he gets home, I'll go untie my shoelace. So he wasn't going to tell me, you know, tie your shoelace, because then I'd say, no, I'll walk the rav home. And then we were mamash, a minute's walk from his house. So what does he do? He bends over to tie his own shoe, as though his shoe got untied. So he's bending over, so now what am I going to do? Of course I'm going to tie my shoe. He didn't say a word, you know. Little things, but from little things by big people, we learn how to be decent human beings. And so when a Talmud Chacham is having a meal, you could learn from the way he has his meal also. There are things to be learned from. We have a whole tractate called Nasechet Derech Eretz, a whole tractate about what's considered proper etiquette. So obviously, certain aspects of the Masechet changed. Not everything that was proper etiquette in the days of the Gemara is proper etiquette today. But there are other things that stay, and at the end of the day, we see that it is important to learn the culture you're in. So you're with a Seuda, you enjoy of a Seuda that a Talmud Chacham is immersed in, so then it's as though you enjoyed from the Shechina if you tap into it. V'amar Rabbi Yavin HaLevi, Rabbi Yavin the Levite said, Haniftar mechavero al yomar lo lech b'shalom el alech l'shalom. Okay, this is a famous Gemara. We'll see the Gemara in its entirety, and then we'll come back and try to see more depth in the Gemara. When a person departs from his friend, he shouldn't tell him, go in peace, but rather go to peace. Sha'arei Yitro shamar lo leMoshe lech leshalom. When Jethro departs from Moshe, he tells him, go to peace. Alav etzliach. Moshe really went and succeeded. He became the greatest leader of all time. David shamar lo leAvshalom lech b'shalom, King David. When he sends his son Avshalom, he tells him, go in peace. Halach v'nitla, Avshalom went and ended up being hung. He wasn't so successful. So the Talmud understood that part of the outcome of Moshe's journey and Avshalom's journey can be traced back to what they were wished when they left. Obviously, they had their own free will, but the Talmud still says the Torah pointed out this difference. V'amar Rabbi Yavin HaLevi, one more quote, which really complements this one. Haniftar min hamet, when one is departing from the deceased, Al yomar lo lech li shalom. So the dead, you don't tell him go to peace, el alech bi shalom. But to the dead, to the deceased, we say go in peace. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'ata tavo l'avotecha bi shalom. That's what God tells Avraham Avinu. You will come to your forefathers, meaning you will pass away in peace. In peace. Okay, so here there is a long commentary on this whole piece, which I'm not sure if you guys want to learn, on this whole the whole question of Bishalom, Lishalom, what it's referring to. The Maral Bach, the one who wrote the Ein Yaakov, wrote a long piece on this. are you guys interested in learning it? So let's start with one pshat, and then we'll go on to his pshat. There's a commentary here called the Eitz Yosef and Anaf Yosef. He wrote a commentary on many midrashim, and he says the merits of a person are called shalom. They're what make peace between man and his creator. And when a person tells someone else lech be shalom, what he's telling him is go in the peace you're at now. And we always wish a person to advance. His peace should always grow. His merits should always grow. So that's why the living you say lech lishalom, whereas the deceased, their merits are finished. You tell them go in peace, and the peace you've attained now, with that you shouldn't go. So that's the commentary of the Anaf Yosef and Eitz Yosef. Over here, if you guys look down, we'll learn this piece together. Hakotev. You have it? Right under the Ein Yaakov. The first commentary under the Ein Yaakov. Yes, you guys have it? Ra'uy lichtov b'makom ze. It's fitting that we should write over here. Zichon inyan ha'mfusam b'fi ha'drushim b'viur. The commentary, this idea, this the explanation of what it means, aniftal min amet, that when one departs from the deceased, al yomar lo lech li shalom, you shouldn't tell him go to peace. U'fi ha'pshat utam amiti v'nachon banuy al shorosh amiti ha'kadum etzleinu. And he's about to tell something fundamental. He says, this is something that seems right to me, and it's built on a true fundamental concept that we have. Vehu, and that is, Kichol ish Yisrael chayav lishtodel, that every Jew has to try, b'yoto b'chaim, so long as he's living, lasot rotzon avinu shebashamayim, to do the will of our Father in heaven, be'iyun uvimase, in his thought and in his deed. V'olam haba, hu olam hagmul. And when he's going to the world to come, so now he's going to the world of payback. Kmo shamru chazal, as our sages taught, ayom lasotam umachar litol tzcharam. We spend our lives in this world doing the mitzvos, and in the future, in the world to come, that's where we get our wages. Ve'imken, so there, if so, yitchayev lechol niftar min amet, so then whenever a person departs from the deceased, what makes sense is, shelo yomar lo lech lishalom, don't tell him, go to peace. Where the intent is, go figure out how you attain peace. Ela lech bishalom, go in peace. Shirutzonon lomar, lech im ha-shalom she'agata bo biyotcha bechayim. Meaning, go with the peace that you've acquired in life. Umitam ze, haniftar min ha-chay, yomar lo behefech. And that's why when departing from one who's living, you say the exact opposite. So this is in line with what we saw with the Eitz Yosef and Anaf Yosef. So far, so good. So we'll have to pick up here. What?
It's very good, I think.
Yeah.
But peace sounds like death. I don't know why. It just sounds like
rest in peace, right?
Yeah, right.
That's right. Okay, so the continuation here is where he's going to bring other sources, and based on this concept that we just saw, interpret other sources with this concept. But we're out of time. We have to go to Arvit. So I'll pick up here, Bezachem, next week, Tuesday, Bezachem.